Well, today I want to talk about a man's man, and his name is Jesus. We're going to look, it cannot be exhausted. Matter of fact, I believe it was John said that you couldn't write, in all the books in the world, you couldn't write enough to contain everything that Jesus did. So this is just simply a pretty brief list of things and lessons that we can learn from Jesus. I think these are some of the things, not all of the things, that make someone a man. A man is not just someone who can have a child. A man is someone who will do what is necessary to support and carry on their responsibilities. Amen. We're going to look. Jesus didn't have any children, as we know, right? He did not have any children, but at the same time, everybody is his child. So you remember whenever Jesus, he was in Jerusalem and he was full of grief and he was sorrowful because he said, "Oh Jerusalem, how many times I wish to gather you like this, and you still reject the Lord." That's my paraphrase. And so we see a father's heart there. And you can't get any more fatherly than to come and take the place of somebody else, which is what he did on the cross. And so I want to kind of take us through some of the scriptures today, and look at some of these lessons that we can learn from Jesus on being a man. The first lesson is Jesus stood for truth, not trying to impress people. Right. The truth was more important to him than what people thought about him. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. First, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. Jesus says this, "If your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust or sin, gouge it out and throw it away." Yikes. That's a pretty serious statement, isn't it? "It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell."
That's right.
Now, let me try to explain. Jesus wasn't really saying, "I want you to gouge your eye out."
Right.
Another verse was, if your hand causes you to sin, cut that off. In other words, what Jesus was getting at was, sin is bad.
Right.
It's very, very bad. We live in a world today who thinks sin is great.
Yeah.
We make movies about it.
Yeah.
We applaud it.
Yeah. No, we don't.
We as the church shouldn't.
That's right.
But those things are applauded. Sin is applauded in our day, but may it not be applauded in our hearts or in our lives.
Amen.
Jesus said, guys, it's better if you lose a part of your body so that you can not sin, so that you will go to heaven and spend eternity with the Father. Otherwise, if you continue to sin, there will be punishment and judgment. Jesus didn't care what others thought. He told the truth. He wasn't trying to impress them with this. He's saying, listen, the reality is that you need to stop sinning, right?
Yes.
That goes for us today. This was not just a good thing to say back in Jesus' day, and it's no longer relevant. How many think the Bible's still relevant today?
Yes.
Was the culture different then? Absolutely. But they still had a sin problem,
right,
and it's still here.
Yes. Right.
Jesus said, it'd be better if you gouged your eye out or cut off your hand so that you didn't keep sinning. If that would fix it, right? We know that it's not an eye problem nor a hand problem. It's a heart problem.
Right.
And he's the only medicine. He's the only remedy. He's the only fix for that sin problem. Jesus helped us to get proper perspective in this verse. It's better that you lose a part of your body. Really what he's saying is that he's more interested in that we live a holy life.
Amen.
Again, Jesus was standing for truth. He was trying to impart truth, passing it on to other people. not trying to simply impress them. The next verse we're going to look at is Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said in this verse, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. You think Jesus was trying to impress people?
No.
He's saying, follow the Lord. That's all that matters. Isn't that what he's saying in reality?
Yeah.
He's saying, what he's not saying is, I want you to hate other people. That's not what he was saying.
Right.
What he was saying, by comparison, it ought to be that your love for Christ far outweighs your devotion to other people. That make sense this morning?
Yes.
I'm not saying I want you to hate your mom and your dad or your wife. How does that work? He's saying you need to love the Lord more than you love everybody else. Be devoted to Him more than you're devoted to them. Please and honor the Lord before you please and honor everybody else. And that is what Jesus is saying. He said, otherwise you can't be my disciple. Excuse me. Stands for truth, not trying to impress people. Our next lesson. Jesus stood His ground and did not back down. I think that's something that a man ought to be able to do. Men, teach these things to your sons or your grandsons or great-grandsons or great-granddaughters even. Stand your ground. We've got to stand for things. Jesus, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. A really amazing story. Powerful story. It says, so they arrived at the other side. This is Jesus and His disciples. They arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. Verse 2, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet Him. Verse 3, this man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Did you hear that? This guy lives in the cave where the people are buried. That's where he lives. So it sounds like he lives in the cemetery.
Yep.
And he can't be restrained even with chains. That's wild, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
How many of you, raise your hand if you can break a chain. Raise your hand if you used to be able to break a chain. Me neither. Maybe with bolt cutters or a grinder. This guy is possessed by an evil spirit. He couldn't be restrained. Verse 4, whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Until verse 5. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. That's what the enemy wants for your life. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants you to knock you down and keep you there. He wants to kick you while you're down there. He wants the cutting of themselves. That's demonic. It's a harming of what God created. That's what the enemy wants. That's not what God wants.
That's right.
Verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man who was possessed by demon, saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, do not torture me. Jesus stood his ground. Jesus stood there and this man approached him. Jesus didn't back down. He didn't talk his way out of it. Many of us would have probably been afraid. Oh my goodness, that's the guy who breaks the chains. That's the guy who we hear at night howling. That's wild. And this guy approaches Jesus and he doesn't flinch a muscle. He's not like, oh no, what's getting ready to happen? Is he going to hurt me? Could he have hurt Jesus?
No.
I don't think so, but I don't know. Evidently not, because Jesus commands the evil spirit to leave. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. Go to the next verse, if you would. Verse 9. Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion. Now this is a demon in the man talking now. My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Jesus stood there. Again, he doesn't flinch a muscle. He's like, oh no, what am I going to do now? Jesus didn't flinch a muscle. He stood right in there, right in the batter's box, and just said, no, you guys got to leave.
Yes.
And many of you know the story. He sent the evil spirits into some pigs. I think there was 2,000 of them. And they ran down the hill into the water and killed themselves. Under the influence of the evil spirits. Pretty wild story, isn't it? Jesus stood his ground. Jesus didn't back off, didn't back down, didn't shut up, but he kept on going. He wanted this man to be free. We sang about freedom all ago. I think that's another sign of a man. They want people to benefit in life, those around them. Jesus stood right in and wanted this man to be free. There's no reason why you have to be living like this anymore.
Amen.
The evil spirits left, and he began to tell others about the love of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Man, let's see that in our day. What do you say? It's not in our name that people are going to be delivered. It's in Jesus' name. Can you say that name?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus. Let's see here. Another lesson from the life of Christ. Jesus cared deeply, and he showed love. Jesus had some friends, some real good friends. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Brothers and sisters. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were all brother and sister. Jesus was friends with them. And Jesus is away. Excuse me. On a ministry trip. And he gets word that Lazarus is pretty sick. Real sick. And if you've read that story, you notice that Jesus did not take off right immediately to go rescue Lazarus. Because he wanted God to be glorified in the situation. And so, one of his disciples, matter of fact, said, Jesus, aren't we going to go, fix Lazarus? Jesus said, he's only sleeping. Jesus knew what was going down. And so they approach Lazarus' hometown and are approaching his home, and one of the sisters runs out. Realizes Jesus is coming, and she runs out to meet Jesus and says, Jesus, if you'd only been here. If you'd only been here, Jesus, my brother wouldn't have died. And you can imagine she's crying, probably snot going everywhere. And Jesus just graciously, he tries to teach her, but I'm the resurrection and the life. And that was the purpose behind this. But we read in John chapter 11, verse 35. This would be, I believe, the shortest verse in the Bible. After Jesus, he said, where do they bury him? Where is Lazarus? They told him, and it said that Jesus wept. I think that Jesus was moved with compassion for his friend. But it also says in the verse previous that he was deeply troubled. He was angry. I don't know, maybe he was angry about death. Maybe he was angry. Maybe he was troubled that no one believed that he could raise him. I don't know exactly what was going on, but Jesus wept. He cared deeply and was moved by love. And I know that many of you at times are moved by love. You care deeply about others. I think that's a sign of a real man or a woman of God. That is something that is wonderful. Because it's real easy for people to say something and it goes in one ear and out the other ear, and we care not for it. We do nothing for that. Jesus moved toward the burial site. He moved toward the tomb. Remember what happens?
Yeah.
He says, he prays a prayer. God, I know you can hear me. That's a great lesson for us. Hey, Lazarus, come on out of there. And I think it was probably at that time when one of the sisters said, oh, Jesus, he's been in there for 4 days. He's dead. And he probably stinks real bad. And Jesus just kind of brushes it off, says, stood his ground. No, I said, Lazarus, come on out of there. He told him to move the stone away. Lazarus, come out. And the next thing you know, here comes Lazarus, looking like a zombie. Got wrapping all around him, more than likely. And he comes out, and he's like, man, it's bright out here. What just happened? And everybody out here by Jesus is going, what does Jesus think he's doing? Right? Their jaw hit the floor, hit the ground, got dirt in it. Jesus cared deeply. He cared enough to do something about it. I've never been able to raise anyone from the dead, but there's power in Jesus that can. Amen. But there's sometimes other things that we can do as believers to show that love, to show that we care, is to be with people or to help them, provide for them, other various things. This is something we learn from Jesus. Man, let's be that way. Let's be that way for our families. Let's provide for them. Let's take care of them. Let's help them out and others. There's needs all around us, aren't there? Sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming. Make sure you spend time with the Lord. He will sustain you. He will strengthen you. He will hold you. More lessons on manhood. Jesus demonstrated gentleness and handed out grace. I'm working on gentleness. Let's look at this passage. Many of you know it. John chapter 8, verse 3. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. They put her in front of the crowd and basically were doing this. Oh. So let me say before I get into it, Jesus wasn't exactly thrilled that she was doing that, right? But if you'll recall, and there's this group of men, old and young men, that are standing there wanting to see what Jesus is going to do about it. Okay, because they were held to the Old Testament law. Jesus, the new covenant that Jesus instituted hadn't been instituted yet. It would be shortly, but it hadn't been instituted yet. They were still under the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law said that she needed to be stoned. But I think Jesus had a problem with it. The problem was, it takes two to do that. Where's the other one?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That wasn't the only problem that he had. Obviously, sin is a problem. We already talked about that. If your eye causes you to sin, go gouge it out. Again, I'm not encouraging you to gouge out your eye or cut off your hand, foot, or anything else. But we want to encourage people to live for Christ. We want to encourage people to live holy lives. But what does Jesus do with this poor woman?
Grace.
He says... Well, we know that he bends down and writes something in the dirt with his finger or a stick. We just would die to know what that was, right?
Yep.
There's no indication as to what he was saying and what he wrote in the dirt. But what he does is he switches it back. He turns it around. He was so good at doing that. Jesus said, "You know what? You're right, that is what the law says. So why don't you, whoever's without sin, why don't you throw the first rock?" Mm-hmm. She was supposed to be stoned right there in front of everybody. And this is what I picture. I picture people in that audience, they're waiting on Jesus' response, and they're like standing in judgment on her. And also in judgment on Jesus. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Clearly we're supposed to stone her. They may have already had rocks in their hands. And Jesus says, "Why don't you, whoever's without sin, why don't you cast the first stone?" And the scripture says that the older ones begin to drop their stones first. The younger ones still thinking that. They all ended up dropping their stones. And then Jesus turned to this woman. Because she was still created in God's image.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Had value. Even though she hadn't done right. There's going to be people like that that walk in our doors. They may have lived a difficult life. Maybe many of those things are because of bad choices that they made. They're still a child of God. Valuable to Him. And guess what? Valuable to us. Right? Jesus turned to the woman after everybody had dropped their rocks and walked away. They allowed what Jesus said, they allowed that to run through their brain. They filtered that out. They processed that. And they were like, "I guess he's got a point. I'm not sinless either." Got their rocks, walked away. When everybody's gone, it's just Jesus and this woman standing there. And he says, "Well, daughter, you see anybody here? Left? That condemns you?" "No, Jesus, I don't. I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you either. But go and sin no more. You don't need to live like that. That's not why. That's not what God created you for." Isn't that awesome? Jesus showed all kinds of grace. He was gentle with her. And to be honest with you, he was gentle with those others who were wanting to judge.
Yeah.
What a wonderful story of grace. What a wonderful What a wonderful lesson on gentleness and grace that Jesus demonstrated on that day.
Amen.
What would you have wanted to do? If you just happened to be in earshot whenever they brought this woman to Christ. Or let's say it was here in this church, in this time. Would you want to choke rocks at her?
No.
Or help her to move forward?
Yeah.
Again, obviously, we're not about sin, but we are and ought to be about grace. Right?
Yeah.
Jesus, bring on the grace. Romans says that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Then he followed that up with the question, so should we, you know, basically he's saying, so should we sin more so that grace would increase as well?
No.
By no means, absolutely not. We don't want to keep sinning. At some point, then the Lord's like, that's it.
Right.
I don't know when that is, but we want to receive the grace, but we want to stop the sinning. Can't keep sinning and keep receiving the grace. It God's grace is there, and I believe that with all my heart. But there's got to be a point, like he said to the, like Jesus said to this woman, go and sin no more. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Keep living. Stop sinning. Another lesson on manhood. Jesus was a man who walked in authority. We saw that. He just had all these religious leaders. They backed down from their, in reality, their obligation, their lawful obligation. We saw earlier the authority of Christ when he commanded demons to flee from a demon-possessed man. He was also a man under the Father's authority. Let's look at that. John chapter 19 and verse 10. Man, this is a great lesson for us.
It is.
For all. That even if God has given you authority, we are still under God's authority. Jesus understood that. Here in John chapter 19 and verse 10, Pilate is trying to have a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus really isn't giving him much. And Pilate, out of frustration, says, why don't you talk to me? Pilate demanded, don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you? Jesus, being Jesus, knew that it wasn't Pilate's authority that Jesus was there. It wasn't because of who Pilate was. It wasn't because of that authority. It was because of the authority that gave Pilate the authority. And the one above Pilate. Right? It was God's authority. It was because that was God's plan. That was what God needed to happen. And that's why Jesus was where he was, sitting in front of Pilate. Jesus was a man under authority. Wasn't he? Was he not?
Yes.
He was under the authority of the Father. Matter of fact, if you look through the book of John, you will find many times where Jesus says something like this. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I see, what I hear the Father saying. In other words, I'm under his authority.
Yeah.
What a lesson for us to learn. Jesus understood that. Pilate did not. Matter of fact, Jesus says in another time, he could have drawn legion of angels to rescue him.
Yeah.
Good thing for us he didn't.
Amen.
Difficult for him, but good thing for us he didn't. He had to go to the cross. That was his mission. That was his mission. Aren't you thankful?
Yeah.
Jesus walked in authority, but he was also under authority. I propose that you can't have authority unless you're willing to submit to authority. Jesus did both very well. Wonderful, wonderful. We learn wonderful things from our Savior, don't we?
Amen.
Another lesson for us men and young men. Jesus gave his life for others.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not saying that you are going to have to go to a cross and die on the cross for someone. But that can be done in the prayer closet.
Yes.
That can be done when you step out of your comfort zone and help somebody. And as I already kind of mentioned about Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 13. John writes, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." That's what Jesus said. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And we do that. We lay our life down when we lend a hand, when we help out in times of need, when we support other people. That's, I think, what a man ought to do. In difficult times, that's something we learn from Christ. He was always being a blessing to people. The religious leaders didn't really see it that way. But he was even trying to be a blessing to them. They just had their ears were shut. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writes, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Hallelujah.
Amen.
"So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God." Listen to this. "I live in this body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me."
Amen.
Jesus gave himself for us. That's, I think, a lesson that we all can learn from him. And learn to give ourselves for others.
Yes.
Be nice if we could impact everybody. But we just impact our sphere of influence, right?
Yep.
We help those who we can help. Because none of us can help everybody. But we do what we can.
Amen.
Don't be closed off. Don't let our hearts get hard to this. Let us be a blessing to other people. Let us serve. Let us give. Let us help and those types of things so that others can know Christ and be encouraged in him. This morning I want to ask this question. Is there anything you can still learn from Christ to be a man? First, that's to dads, granddads, whatever. And also to all of it, to everyone. Let's learn from Christ. Let's be men. Let's be men. Let's lead our families. Let's lead as many that will follow to Jesus.
Amen.
Women, you can do the same. Moms, you can do the same. Can we ask the Lord to help us with these things today?
Yeah.
You know, if there's a particular area that maybe the Lord was pricking your heart about in this message, or maybe he was sharing something else with you, I'm perfectly okay if the Lord stops my sermon and takes you somewhere else. Not daydreaming, but if the Lord's doing something, because he's done it for me, something that a minister will say will... I'll begin to go that way. The Lord will take me that way. And that's been beneficial to me. So I'm totally okay if God does that in your heart and mind. Let's seek the Lord for a few moments. Asking him to direct our steps. Asking us to be the people of God that he's called us to be. There are people around you that need you. There's people around you that need Jesus. Let's commit our ways to him. And let's ask him. Let's ask him to help us with it. So we can be an influence to others around us. And a blessing to them. Let's worship him as well. Father, we just thank you. We love you, Lord. We need you today. We are yours. We are yours.